Yeah, let's see. I think he made this in a serious, and the sound level was approximately the same for all three. But you are right, because we perceived
like
it very much as function of the amplitude of the higher partials.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because, I mean, and also it's a quite a low tone. I would have liked to maybe see some of the higher tones to see what's really happening.
Yeah, it was anecdotal evidence. I mean, just an example to find out.
But I wonder, would he be saying that for his voice, he's unable to get a better singer's formant without letting some nose in? Because I think he could lean on that a little more.
Next time I see him. I don't know.
It's just interesting. All right. Because I know that most of us, I don't know, I know I teach a lot of times, and I'll say, okay, now, you know, sing on and hold your nose and open it. It shouldn't really change appreciably.
In one
technique.
The traditional criterion for a velopharyngeal opening may be unreliable, because the nose is very resistive. So there may be no airflow and a velopharyngeal opening. We have seen that in the video documentation. There was a little bubble across, covering a velopharyngeal opening, and it didn't burst when the person was singing. So there was no airflow going out through the nostrils, but there was a velopharyngeal opening.
That's interesting. But so then there could be some. But there's the sound
lots of
could
sound.
Change because of maybe the different back pressure and whatever's happening with the opening.
Yeah, there's lots of sound in the nose, of course, if you just have a bubble that covers the opening.
Okay, thank you.